Radio Daily for halfway day. And, you know, thank you everybody for voting. Notice that's all I had to say. And for those of you that did contact me to find out the best way to vote, thank you for doing that. And of course you're welcome. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 6th of November, even though my notes say it's October, and I know I have not entered into a time vortex because I just talked about voting. So everything is good to go. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the places that you know us from. The folks that are bringing it to you today will gather with us the man that is ready to become champion. It's Podcasting for Siegfried.
For one brief moment, victory was within our grasp.
And then the game started.
Oh, snap. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
The sooner you accept the dull, miserable reality of your existence, the happier you'll be.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. What happened, sir?
Well, in 1572, a supernova is observed in the constellation known as Cassiopeia by Wolfgang Schuller of Wittenberg. It appears as a new star adjacent to the fainter star seen in the middle of the new constellation.
1862, a direct telegraphic link between New York and San Francisco is established. That's like telegraphy? Is that what that is?
1935, before the New York section of the Institute of Radio Engineers, Edwin Armstrong presents his paper, A Method of Reducing Disturbances in Radio Signaling by a System of Frequency Modulation, which proposes the first FM radio.
No static. I'm going to stop saying that. 1939, the first commercial television station WGY-TV in Schenectady, New York, goes into service.
1944, plutonium is first produced at the Hanford Atomic Facility.
1945, an FR-1 fireball touches down on the USS Wake Island, becoming the first jet to land on a carrier. Maverick!
Hopefully it was on purpose. 1955, a movie premieres on television with a coast-to-coast broadcast for the first time in history.
What was it? Tune in tomorrow. No, we still won't know. 1957, the Hewlett-Packard Company Incorporated offer public stock for the first time.
And same day, same year, the first 75-minute comedy program airs.
How was that even possible? 1971, the United States Atomic Energy Commission, you down with AEC, test the largest U.S. underground hydrogen bomb, codenamed Kanakin, on a Machika Island in the Aleutian Islands. Are any of those words real?
Yeah, you know me. 1990 in California, about a fifth of the Universal Studios backlot is destroyed in an arson fire.
That's how we lost King Kong, man.
I believe they almost caught them, but the Warner Brothers and their sister Dot were able to escape custody.
1994, the science fiction television series Earth 2 that Chad and Abby were on a few weeks back premieres on the NBC television network with the episode First Contact, Part 1.
1997, Sony Computer Entertainment releases the fighting game Bloody Roar for the PlayStation in Japan.
It's a bloody roar! 1998, hacker Rajib Mitra is convicted of hacking into the University of Iowa and University of Wisconsin. He'll also later be sentenced to 8 years in prison for jamming emergency radio bands during graduate school. Leave the emergency stuff alone, people.
Yeah, come on. Same day, some year, scientists report the first successful culture of human stem cells in the course of research financed by Geron Corporation. That, of course, means that everybody in some way, shape, or form has at least a little bit of culture.
Same day, same year still, the 3 millionth domain name, lizzieb.com, is registered, and we still enjoy you to this day.
Don't go to it. We haven't tested it. We don't know if that's a spelling website or a nudie website. 1999, United States President William Clinton launches the consumer.gov website as part of a comprehensive campaign to fight telephone fraud.
2000, Nintendo releases Hey You, Pikachu for the Nintendo 64 in the United States.
Also, Warner Brothers releases science fiction film Red Planet, directed by Anthony Hoffman and starring Val Kilmer, Carrie Ann Moss, Benjamin Bratt, and Tom Sizemore.
I have the best scene of that on my computer. 2001, Capcom releases the fighting game Capcom vs. SNK 2 for the PlayStation 2 in the U.S.
The first issue of Official Xbox Magazine is published in the U.S. The magazine is published 13 times a year and covers topics relating to the Xbox video game console.
And comes with a disc of demos and stuff you can play. It was revolutionary! Oh, yeah. Same day, same year still, NuNet, a free software framework for decentralized peer-to-peer networking written in C, is first published. The framework offers link encryption, peer discovery, resource allocation for all of those files you don't want your mom to see.
2003, Sony Computer Entertainment releases the survival horror game Siren for the PS2 in Japan.
Same day, though, Ubisoft releases Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, for PlayStation 2 in North America.
Oh, whenever I record with you, I never be soft. 2004, the Aziz Ansari X Prize, along with $10 million cash prize, is awarded to Burt Rutan and Paul Allen of Mojave Aerospace Ventures and their Spaceship One at a trophy ceremony in St. Louis, Missouri. To win the prize, vehicles had to be privately financed, constructed, able to fly in an altitude of 100 kilometers with three passengers, and reuse the vehicle twice within a two-week period. 21 teams from 5 countries registered to compete in what basically became the America's Got Talent of the space race, because those who did not come in first place are the ones we still hear about.
2006, Nintendo releases the Elite Beat Agents video game for the Nintendo DS in North America. Elite Beat!
In 2009, Warner Brothers releases science fiction film The Fourth Kind, directed by Oletende Osinsami and starring Mila Jovovich.
That's such a weird movie, because in that movie she plays herself as well as the character that she's playing. It's a strange film. Birthdays?
The delightful Emma Stone, 31, from Superbad, Zombieland, Amazing Spider-Man, Birdman, many other things.
Zombieland
2. Not Asian.
Tandy Newton is 47 from Mission Impossible 2, Chronicles of Riddick, 2012, Westworld, and Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Gal I had a crush on for the longest time, Kelly Rutherford, 51, from Phantom of the Mall, Scream 3, Gossip Girl, but I fell in love with her in Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Hell yeah. Trace Ballou is 61 years of age. You know him from Cinematic Titanic, Other Space, and of course was Dr. Clayton T. Forrester and Crow T. Robot from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Laurie Singer is 62, from The Man with One Red Shoe, Warlock, VR5, and Footloose.
Cam Clark is 62. That's Leonardo in the 1980s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Deflatormouse in The Tick.
Yeah, he's one of those beasts of a voice actor.
He's got like 80,000 credits.
Yeah. Sally Field, 73, from The Flying Nun, Smokey and the Bandit, Forrest Gump, Amazing Spider-Man, Castle Rock, so many things.
No longer with us, born this date in 1814, Adolphe Sax invented the Adolphe phone.
Do you ever blow an Adolphe phone?
Well, not in public. You'll get arrested.
1861, James Naismith invented basketball.
1880, Yoshaka Akawa founded the Nissan Motor Company.
1914, Jonathan Harris, he was the voice of my childhood, from Lost in Space, Darkwing Duck, A Bug's Life, Toy Story 2.
1931, Mike Nichols, who brought us The Graduate, Catch-22, Day of the Dolphin, and Wolf.
So some good ones in there. CBS has a new Survivor, SEAL Team, and SWAT.
ABC, it's New Goldbergs, Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, and Dex must protect her ex Fiona, who is a famous musician coming to town for a performance and trying to get away from a stalker on a new stump town.
NBC has your Chai Fires, Chai Meds, and Chai PBs.
Fox, Mask Us Anything on a new The Masked Singer, because it's not Ask, it's Mac, because they wear...
Unless there's transforming cars, I don't care.
Oh, my God.
CW, new Riverdale, and Nancy must act quickly to get George, get rid of him of an ethereal... Stuff's happening to George.
There's ghosts.
And I can't read.
No.
From Nancy Drew.
Freeform has Monsters University, even though they established when they met, thereby destroying the continuity of the films.
AMC, good point. AMC has the inspiration for Good Feathers. The Good Feathers.
Comedy Central's got a new Crank Yankees.
FX, a deadly trio emerges that is hell-bent on unleashing a new era at Camp Redwood on American Horror Story.
That show is so much fun. FXX, the gang solves global warming on a new It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and a new episode of Cake.
Oh, that's why it's always sunny there.
See?
They solve global warming. Yeah, FXM has Purge, election year. Here's to hope it.
IFC has The Longest Yard, and it's probably the remake and not the original one, which is the only one I care about.
Yeah, the remake's not bad. TNT has All Elite Wrestling.
Ooh. Turner Classic Movies will be showing The Grapes of Wrath, excluding the ending of the book because they couldn't have shown it back then.
USA is trying to compete but really can't, even though they're the longest game in town with WWE NXT.
But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because after her mother passes away, a woman finds her spirits being lifted when her long-lost grandmother enters her life and helps her through her pregnancy. But her husband is quick to notice something seems off about the old woman. Robin Riker and Brooke Newton star in Psycho Granny.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby's younger sister Jacqueline comes to the city to visit her. But trouble comes along the way in the form of her overly trashy boyfriend not named Oscar. She is blind to the danger he brings to her life. Abby's concerned because Jacqueline twitches in the city. She's worried her sister's gonna end up like the Deadwood. Abby tries to get her to snap out of it, but Jacqueline is like lost in Spacey. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Once again, it's time for Bag Old Mail.
Hey, it's Trace, and my guess for Chabby is... which I think you're being really inventive about, because, wow, you're gonna really have to work for how many episodes this thing actually had. Good luck!
Well, you're absolutely right, and that is the show they're on. Beep is the name of that show. It's fantastic. And yes, we are being inventive, or we'll just be really lazy and just phone it all in.
I just can't believe she used that kind of language.
Right? There are children listening.
Yeah, so where's the sequel that people actually wanted? You know, Spaceballs 2? And before transistor radios, radios were like totally tubular, man.
Tubular, dude. They were tripendicular and whatnot.
I see what he did there, and I like it.
You know, we could talk about Spaceballs too, but we got that Spaceballs animated series. Did we want to? Let us know. Drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could tell us all about it by dialing into
510-GRD-CROW.
Yeah, the cartoon was the Green Lantern movie of the Spaceballs universe.
You are not wrong.
Hi, kids. I'm an astronaut. And when I'm not performing highly technical maneuvers on a space shuttle, I like to listen to the Accidental Survivor Podcast, the modern gaming podcast.
That's right, kids. 9 out of 10 astronauts surveyed preferred Accidental Survivors to Tang, except that it was mixed with vodka. You can find us at accidentalsurvivors.libsyn.com. Accidental Survivors. You don't need to be drunk to enjoy it, but it sure helps.
Hi, I'm Trace Ballou from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Hi, this is Frank Conniff, also from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
And you're listening to what again? What are you listening to?
I believe this show is called Geek Radio Daily. Radio Geek Daily, Daily Geek Radio Thing,
no,
thing that's a Radio Geek show.
No.
Whatever it is, you can call it whatever you want, and you are lucky enough to be listening to
who
it.
Who would name a thing like that?
I don't know. It's a crazy name for a show. The kids today with the crazy names that they come up with. I don't get it.
Just push the button, Frank.
Okay.
Welcome back to it. Those gentlemen are such a delight. We all know it's true. Good for us.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Serious indeed. What's at the comic shop, sir?
Well, unfortunately, Bookman is not out yet, as they've been having trouble with getting the original licensing from the creator. But from DC, we have Green Lantern Black Stars, 1 of 3, Wonder Twins, 9 of 12, Young Justice, number 10, and Welcome to the 31st Century. Inspired by the acts of and lessons learned from the greatest heroes of all time, the Legion of Superheroes have gathered together to stop a galaxy from repeating its past mistakes. Why have the Legion of Superheroes broken the cardinal rule of the United Planets and inducted John Kent, a.k.a. Superboy, into the Legion? What are they hiding? And what does it have to do with Aquaman's long-lost trident? In Legion of Superheroes, number one.
Over at Marvel, it's Absolute Carnage Weapon Plus, number one. New Mutants, number one. X-Force, number one. And how did Dan Bai, a young girl from South Korea, first bring an ancient mystical bear spirit into the modern world? How did this unlikely duo become the evil smashing team known as Crescent and Io? Find out in Future Fight First, Crescent and Io, number one.
From Boom Studios, we've got BB Free, 1 of 12. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 9. And Strange Skies Over East Berlin, number 2. From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got Black Terror, number 2, Red Sonja, number 10, Vengeance of Vampirella, number 2, where I can only imagine that somebody accidentally washed her outfit just a little too tight. And decades after a zombie invasion has made humans an endangered species, the city of New Detroit is under siege. Nobody could tell. The people in charge have banned music, as the undead are attracted to sound and have tried to rid the world of evidence that the greatest band in history have ever even existed. Unwilling to live this way and take the leadership at their word, a group of teenagers set out on a dangerous trip to find Kiss. A story of survival and rebellion in a post-apocalyptic landscape devoid of rock and roll where nobody gets a free ride. In Kiss Zombies, no relation to Footloose, number one.
I think they might bite my lips. From Titan Publishing Group, Rivers of London.
I'm ready to fight some zombies, yeah.
The Fae and the Furious, number one, which is great cosmic timing. IDW Publishing, Care Bears, Unlock the Magic, wraps up its three. DuckTales, Silence and Science, wraps up its three. Pandemica's at 2 of 5. And while searching the Adams Library for the creepiest grimoire, Wednesday Adams discovers a mysterious tome that promises true empowerment to the young woman who wields it. She decides to complete the dark rituals hidden within the 11th Teen Magazine and achieve ultimate power. A tie-in to the new Addams Family animated film, it's Addams Family, The Bodies, number one.
Nice. From Dark Horse, we've got Berserker Unbound wrapping up with 404.
Berserker!
I like to read comics, Berserker! Everything number three, Grendel, Devil's Odyssey 2 of 8. From Oni Press, it takes a special kind of madness to capture and imprison Rick Sanchez. The kind of madness only an X can deliver. Unity wants to make a play to take over the galaxy, and she'll need the best and worst of her exes in her clutches to do it. And Rick wants his party naked t-shirt back. She stole it when they broke up. In Rick and Morty presents Unity number one.
Over at Image, it's Die number nine. Gnomon Omen 2 of 15. Space Bandits wraps up its five. But then over at Danger Zone, you got Amalgam of Space Zombie number two. Going to the Chapel 3 of 4. Zombie Tramp number five. And the world's most powerful crime organization, the 12, have managed to evade justice for far too long. And in desperation, the police reach out to the one individual who just might be able to turn things around. But there is a special agent returning to his hometown, fresh from the Alpha Academy, and itching to take down the dark underbelly after taking care of his own rumbling belly, of course, in Mr. Beaver, number one.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Earlier this year, fanboy favorite comic writer Brian Michael Bendis suggested that the X-Men spinoff movie codenamed 143, better known as the Kitty Pryde film, was still in the works.
You ever notice how they always seem to wreck where they live a lot more effectively than when any bad guys they fight ever do?
Set in the universe, in that universe, the story was to focus on the character who could phase through object and was played by Ellen Page in two of the previous films. Bendis was penning the script for Deadpool helmer Tim Miller, who was slated to direct.
With an aeons-old eldritch thing from beyond the veil of space and time.
Then, of course, the Fox-Disney deal closed, and Fox's development slate underwent its Night of the Long Knives moment, where every project that didn't fit the mouse's new idea was gutted and left for dead.
And now I'm going to spend every waking moment changing his mind.
The X-Men movies especially seem to be out of action, as Marvel Studios hasn't made clear its plans for those characters, and the not great, but not as bad as folks have said, Dark Phoenix put the whole X-Men films on ice for a few good years.
Times like these, I miss the Sentinels.
Tim Miller said, I love the X-Men. I don't expect Marvel to call me and say, come do the X-Men, so I'm not waiting for that. I was really excited about my Kitty Pryde movie. F it! I love that movie. It'll never happen now. He then yelled, Professor Xavier's a jerk! And stormed off singing Weezer's in the garage.
The Equalizer, which started its life as a TV series and then became a Denzel Washington movie series that is really good, is about to become a TV series again. Like the original series and the movies, the story focuses on a mysterious figure who uses their specific set of skills to help those who have no one to turn to. Oh, kind of like the A-Team. And this time, Queen Latifah is going to star.
When you're good to mama.
Now, Queen Latifah will executive produce and star in an Equalizer TV series reboot, with CBS giving the project a pilot production commitment. The series comes from the creators Andrew Marlowe and Terry Miller, who also serve as showrunners. Queen Latifah will play an enigmatic figure who uses her extensive skills to help those with nowhere else to turn. A pilot production commitment means the network has committed to producing the pilot.
Oh!
But they can also back out at the last minute and pay a penalty. It's not as ironclad as a full pilot order. This new series will ignore the Washington films, which were a product of Sony, and instead serve as a reboot of the original Edward Woodward series from Universal Television. Universal has been trying to launch an Equalizer TV reboot for at least 4 years, but have been unsuccessful up until now. I think Queen Latifah is an interesting choice. I think it'd be really cool to see a gal pulling off the same moves that we saw Edward Woodward and Denzel Washington do. I think it's important. And this one just may help to take the odds and even them out. That's not the word.
Microsoft is planning to release its Edge Chromium browser early next year with a new logo, and they're aiming for a January 15th release date.
With a service pack update 10 minutes later.
Microsoft released what they called a release candidate a couple days back, which should demonstrate most of the final work that will make it into the full release in January.
But will the voters respond?
It comes only a few months after Microsoft released the beta version of Edge with a promise of a full release in early 2020. The new release candidate build includes sync support for passwords, history, favorites, settings across Windows, Mac, iOS, Android. It also includes Microsoft's new built-in tracking protection, which is enabled by default.
Oh, dope. So they're making Chrome.
Pretty much. Microsoft is also introducing a new logo and icon for Edge. While the previous version looked a lot like Internet Explorer, the new one looks more like a wave. It's the first significant move away from the classic blue E logo that they've used for like 20 years. Microsoft revealed the new logo in an elaborate Easter egg hunt over the weekend.
I wonder what an unfound logo smells like after a few weeks.
Microsoft is also bringing some new business-focused features to Edge. You'll be able to type in the address bar to find coworkers, office locations, floor plans for a building, and even get definitions for company acronyms. It's all part of a Microsoft search in Bing, which is built into Edge. It's designed to combine typical internet searches into an interface which you can use to search the web using Bing.
Look at that. We made it through an entire story that mentioned full release several times without making any dirty jokes.
So you'll be using Bing, but no word on what you'll have to search with if you're not going to be looking for porn.
We didn't want to disappoint you guys. And in our new reoccurring segment, Browsers Doing Stuff You Want News, Firefox will hide push notification requests from websites by default. Websites may use the Notifications API to display notifications to users of the web browser, even if the site in question has been closed in the meantime.
Wait. They want to make it harder to clog up my screen with pointless messages?
Designed to give sites and progressive web applications an option to inform users about updates, it soon started to be abused by numerous sites.
No.
Mozilla ran an experiment in 2019 to determine how users of the Firefox web browser interacted with these notification requests.
We said nuke it from orbit!
All 14 of you. One of the main issue with notification prompts is that many sites display them the moment a user visits it. Another, that the prompt requires action on part of the users. Users who never visited a site cannot possibly know whether they would like to receive notifications from a site they know little about.
And then 5 more notifications while I was on the site for 30 seconds.
Ugh. According to the study, 97% of users who participated in the study dismissed notifications immediately or went a step further and decided to block the site from showing notifications at all.
When the site allows us to block the notification request.
I would just grab whatever the article title I was planning on reading, Google it, and find another site. But Mozilla implemented an option in Firefox 59 to block all notification prompts in the browser. Users need to go to our shows to find out the instructions. We'll post them there. From Firefox 70 onward, the prompt's not allow option will be changed to never block the prompt on the site forever. Starting in Firefox 72, Firefox will no longer show notification prompts when websites want to use the notification API unless the user has interacted with the site prior to the request. Interaction in this case means that the user tapped, clicked, or pressed a key.
Firefox 82 is a very little seen Clint Eastwood film.
It's also very underrated. Yes, kids, you're welcome. While it has been possible to block all notifications in Firefox for a long time, it is probably not something that most users of the browser have been aware of. The suppression of notification prompts will reduce annoying notification prompts significantly without removing the functionality entirely. If, you, of course, you'd like to know more about how this story develops, please click to enable notification.
12 billion miles from Earth, there is an elusive boundary that marks the edge of the sun's realm and the start of interstellar space. When Voyager 2, the longest-running space mission, crossed the frontier more than 40 years after its launch, it sent a faint signal from the other side that scientists have now decoded.
Drink more Oval, a crummy commercial.
The NASA craft is the second ever to travel beyond the heliosphere, the bubble of the supersonic charged particle streaming outwards from the sun. Despite setting off a month ahead of its twin Voyager 1, as number 2 does, it crossed the threshold into interstellar space more than 6 years behind after taking the scenic route across the solar system and providing what remained the only close-up images of Uranus and Neptune.
If I can, I always choose a long, slow look at Uranus.
Now Voyager 2 has sent back the most detailed look yet at the edge of our solar system, despite NASA scientists having no idea at the outset it would survive to see this landmark moment occur.
Somewhere, Carl Sagan is smiling.
Measurements published in 5 separate papers reveal that Voyager 2 encountered a much sharper, thinner heliosphere boundary than Voyager 1. Now, this could be due to Voyager 1 crossing during a solar maximum, activity currently is at a low, or the craft itself might have crossed through on a less perpendicular trajectory that meant it ended up spending longer at the edge.
And is still proving to answer more questions. And is still proving to answer all of the questions Voyager 1 left behind.
Voyager 2 also gives additional clues to the thickness of the heliosheath, the outer region of the heliosphere, and the point where the solar wind piles up against the approaching wind in interstellar space, like the bow wave sent out ahead of a ship in the ocean. Most interestingly, it has sent back a request for information based on a subspace signal it picked up. V'ger would like the creator to explain exactly what resistance is futile means. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Always a fun thing to do. And if you can figure out what Drace did, especially with today's I'm going to beat you over the head with obvious clues, tell us where Chad and Heavy are, simply by dropping a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course drop that voicemail by dialing
510-GRD.
And, but just come on, watch the language, people.
Right? And drop is really a slang. I don't literally mean to drop them. You know, I mean send them. But I was trying to be hip. That's me, baby. I'm hip.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Hip.
Peace out, player.
Not that.
Hit dog.
Hip.
Good night, suckers.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
Ah, you're here. Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Clayton Forrest, and soon you will all bow down before me. What you are about to see is an experiment. And by observing, you have become part of that experiment. For I have shot a man into space, and I'm driving him crazy by forcing him to watch the worst movies ever made. Oh, shit! We all thought about it, but I had the guts to do it! Oh! This is my test subject, Mike Nelson. A disgustingly mild-mannered dope who's managed to survive every film I've subjected him to. But perhaps this movie will drive him to the breaking point and crush his soul. And then I'll unleash it on an unwitting public, and then I will rule the world! Yes! I'm a naughty boy! Naughty, 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 naughty! Well, you will join Mike in watching the universal classic, This Island Earth. Now prepare yourself for my maddest madness yet.
Now, poopy.